notorious, so notorious.
Hello and welcome to the Two Old Dolphins podcast, a proud member of the Dolphin Talk podcast network. The show is hosted by Alex Sines and me, Scott Quiggle. All right, happy Tuesday evening to you, Alex.
Happy Tuesday.
Once again, the Two Old Dolphins have reunited to do a little podcast here, and we have a lot to talk about today. So
sure
hopefully
mm-hmm.
our two tired old asses can get through this without meandering or losing our train of thought today.
And another victory, huh?
And we have a victory. We're on a winning streak.
We're winning more
games. We're on a winning streak.
Anybody expected us to win. Most people thought we were going to go 0-for.
I always said that we were going to win one game.
Exactly.
I just didn't know which game. And so
and we all thought it was going to be the Jets.
We've now... Yeah, right. Well,
some of us predicted it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But now this game was a real shocker. I never thought we were going to go on the road and beat a team like this. I know they had a backup quarterback.
The difference was Hoyer. Yeah. I mean, if they'd had Brissett, certainly if they had luck, we would have been punished.
Yeah.
But I don't want to take away from it because that defense was playing hard.
The whole team is playing hard.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I don't want to take away from the whole team.
The whole team. There's no quit in this Dolphin team.
I was talking to a guy today who doesn't know the Dolphins very well. He just mm-hmm. you know listens to the chatter and sees our record and the one loss. And he's heard a little bit from me about the Dolphins doing their restructuring and stripping the team down and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes. Something about Dolphins having terrible coaching. And I said,
well,
you got that wrong.
Boy, is he wrong on that one.
I said, because I think my eyes are starting to open to the point where we may have great coaching, actually. And he goes, well, you've only won two games and you look terrible and you got blown out. How can that be? And I said, this is a team of practice squad players, scrap heap guys, kids that might be playing in the XFL or the, if it still existed, NFL Europe, these aren't starting. Most of them, the majority of them are not starting Cowboy
not
players.
Not even close, no.
Yeah, so they're being coached up,
mm-hmm.
up and up and up. And not only are they being coached up as individuals, but they're playing together as a team. It makes such a difference.
And we're going to get into some of those individuals that are,
and,
especially on the defensive side of the ball.
I have a topic on teams that I'll talk about when we get over our...
But especially on the defensive side, I'm super impressed. I just the game planning, the way these guys are balling out. I mean, it's just amazing the way they're playing.
So Alex and I like to do open with a bit of a personal story, and the reason is not to brag or to say, hey, look at us or anything like that. It's usually like because either we want to make a joke or we want to give a recommendation on something because
mm-hmm.
we've experienced it and we're like, we're sharing this with you because, maybe it's something you want to do too. So I've got something and you've got something today.
Yeah, well, I don't really have a recommendation today. I just wanted to share a little bit of why I'm beat up today. So at 6 o'clock in the morning, I get a call that there's a delivery that just happened. And I go, what do you mean this just happened? They go, well, we're delivering some columns for a solar carport that we're building. We have four commercial jobs. My other job is, really we do commercial solar and a lot of it and some residential. But so this is four jobs that are going on simultaneously.
So this is equal story and advertisement.
Let me tell you, man, there's no advertising. This is to show you how we got beat up. So I went there and we just didn't have a forklift on site. So we had to lift 4,500 some pounds off of total columns. In other words, 2.5 tons of steel between six guys. And we did it, but it was, my body feels like I've been beaten up, thrown off the truck. It's unbelievable what I feel.
Should be against the law for guys our age.
Oh my God. I mean, my shoulders are killing me. My knees are killing me. My legs are killing me. And I was thinking to myself, it took us about an hour and a half to get the job done. I'm thinking, and the rest of the guys went back to work. I went to my office to cry.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Unreal. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that today I came out here dragging myself out here because I was a couple of times I was going to say, boy, do I call Scott and say, Scott, I can't make it. My body's killing me. But I didn't. So here I am showing you the dedication and the love that we have for our Dolphins, for this podcast, which is really the coolest thing.
It is.
And this is it. So that was the only thing I'll, you know, share a little bit of that madness of what happened today. So what's been going on with you?
All right, so we talked about how the two of us either have been reading business books mm-hmm. or now listening to business books. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, when we're spending a lot of time in the car, long commutes or whatever, you know, listening is still...
The San Diego traffic that's getting worse and worse.
Every day, it seems like.
Oh, you know, man.
It took us forever. We left
LA
early
south.
To get here early today, to get started early.
Yeah, it took me an hour to get here.
Oh, geez, yeah. So,
anyway, whatever.
Yesterday was Veterans Day, mm-hmm. and the book I'm listening to now, I'm almost done with, is written by General Stanley McChrystal, retired U.S. Army, mm-hmm. And he was the Special Forces commander in SWA during mm-hmm. Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, 2004, you know, that whole period, and... it's a book about how he reformatted our armed forces over there to be agile. And so I'm reading it because I'm an agile coach. It's considered to be a business book. And there are, I'd say, equal parts business and equal parts military stories and nice. Events and really the thought process and the need to be able to make rapid changes, to react to situations faster. I mean, we have the best trained military, the best equipped military.
Ever.
Right. And we've got, you know, he's in command of the SEALs and the, you know, Green Berets and Army Special Forces and,
some
you know,
badass,
all these, CIA
men and women.
Operators and a ton of, you know, situational analysts, you know, government ops people. Mm-hmm. And we were too slow. We were losing to Al-Qaeda because Al-Qaeda was agile and they just would fit between the seams, between the cracks. And so nothing promotes change faster than when lives are on the line, right? The military has mm-hmm. historically often stayed in front of business with the adaptation of new processes and thought patterns and inventions and things like that because, again, what's more important than making change to adjust to a situation than when lives are on the line, American mm-hmm. lives, any lives, right? So Team of Teams is a book about how he changed the way our military works in theater, or generally from the traditional top-down, single-leader command and control style of delivering orders requiring permission to take action to enable the teams to make important decisions on the spot. His command was of the Joint Special Operations Command in the mid-2000s in Iraq, and he built really highly agile, independent, cross-functional teams, which is a lot of the things that I teach regularly. So this book is on, like, Agile Best Books list, and I'm absolutely loving it, and it's not completely
nice.
Centered around the military, but... obviously it's written by the general and the core of it is military. And so, mm-hmm. But it goes into history of business and, you know, things like that. It's a really interesting book. I highly recommend it, especially to leaders in business that, you know, need to stay up with the current way that the world operates. So, on the heels of that book recommendation, I mm-hmm. want to say thank you to all of our service people on
big
the
heels shout
of
out.
Veterans
yeah.
Day.
To all our men and women that have served our country and that are serving our country across this great globe, you know, the world. They've done a great job. And you and I are both big supporters of our military personnel. And
yep.
San Diego as a whole is a big supporter.
Yep.
This town is, you know, home of the old Blue Angels, the home of the Navy SEALs, the home of the Marines. I mean, it's a military town, right? Yep. I mean, would you say? Yeah. So, yeah, awesome, man. Well, let's get to football. I think nothing tells more about coaching than really how well prepared a team is, the game plans that they have. And one of the telling signs is penalties. And I went back and took a look at the Dolphins, and we all know the history, right?
Yep.
Don Shula was around. We were the least penalized team forever.
Mm-hmm.
First, they say, whatever, 20-some years of the Dolphin history, 25 years, we were the least penalized team in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went back and I looked at the Gase history.
Yes.
And last year, they actually Gase best year ever. We were 17th. We had 108 penalties for the year.
Mm-hmm.
But let's start from the beginning of the Gase history. 2015, 134 penalties, fourth in the NFL. In 2016, we had 125 penalties, third. In 2017, worse.
Yes.
In 2017, in typical Gase fashion, 137 penalties, second worst. So this year, we have so far 49 penalties, number one in the NFL with the least.
Right, so don't confuse our listeners.
We're 32. Yes. We're 32.
One
That's right. Let's not confuse
other.
Them. Yeah. We're 32 in the NFL in penalties, which is in essence the least penalized team.
Yes.
So that's fantastic.
It's not only a flip from one coaching staff to the other staff that is fairly amazing,
mm-hmm.
but the level of players that we have on this team now, they're kids.
Yeah, a bunch of rookies.
Right?
We
got rid of the veterans. Yeah. We got rid of the experienced guys, and we have kids, and he's doing this with a lot of practice squad level kids.
We're going to be under 100 penalties.
It's amazing to me.
Yeah,
it's amazing to me to see the growth of some players on the field that we didn't even expect to grow, and it's amazing to see that the coaching is actually winning games with this team, and it's amazing to see statistics like that.
Well, Scott, take a look at
least penalized team. That's coaching, man.
So this year, look at the most penalized teams right now in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona number one, number two is Oakland.
Isn't Oakland always in the top
always,
five?
Always. Yes. So they keep the tradition going.
Yeah.
Cleveland, number three. Tampa, number four. And our beloved Gase-led Jets, number five.
Yeah, Gase managed to stay in the top five.
Falcons, number six. So of those teams, three or four of them are going to lose their coach this year. We don't know what's going to happen
Arizona,
with the Jets.
Arizona
won't.
No.
But the Browns, I think,
Tampa
will.
Tampa probably won't.
I believe the Falcons will,
yep.
And I believe the Browns will.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll talk about one of the other
and
interesting
the
things. And the Jets, I'm not sure what's going to happen. I mean, I think they, they'll be crazy to hold on to them, but
yeah.
I hope they do.
Yeah, I sent you the video, I think, of the, from the bridge in New York.
Oh, with
the
big
guy
sign.
Filmed the plane flying by.
Yeah,
fire case.
Oh, these guys are done. I mean, they acted like they won the Super Bowl when they beat the Giants. I was cracking up. I was watching that. They were jumping around like little kids. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You beat the Giants.
Yeah.
In the power rankings, which was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So the power rankings, the worst team according to ESPN. Somewhat reputable, right?
Everyone has a different power
Everybody
ranking.
Does. But we're going to go to ESPN, which yeah. I guess is the
industry
standards,
right? At least it's a national
right?
recognized.
Yeah.
It's nationally recognized.
Okay. Cincinnati, the worst.
Yeah. They're the over.
Washington, the Giants, the victory lap that the Jets took, the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, the Jets. And then us.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is right after us comes the Falcons, who have a 2-7 record. And then you start looking at Denver. I mean, Cleveland is 25th.
That defies everyone's predictions for this year.
I mean, my own. I thought that they were going to be a fun team to watch.
Me too.
Cleveland's on TV. I can't change the channel quick enough.
Yeah. Back to the way it was and has been for a very long time.
Horrendous to watch.
Yeah.
The quarterbacking is terrible. I mean, the defense.
Good receivers, good running backs. Good. We talked about the Browns probably too much.
Yeah, too much. But it is shocking because, see, what we're blessed in Miami and is that we do have great coaching. And I can say that if we had,
it took us a while to get here.
Well, I mean,
it's still on the precipice. It could fall back if, you know, things go wrong.
I mean, I'm still upset about Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, and that's on our subject.
That's on our subject, yeah. And I'm still upset about that. But when you look at again the overachieving that we have, how prepared these guys, the penalties. I mean, when I first heard about that wall of shame thing that the Dolphins were doing, I was like, that sounds kind of high schoolish. I don't know if that's going to work, but apparently it's working. He's got a bunch of young kids that don't want to get a penalty. So that's impressive. And we are
whatever it takes, man.
And we're a couple of spots away from Cleveland, who has a lot more talent than we do.
A ton more.
So I can't
blame Jarvis Landry.
I can't blame the GM on that, right? I mean, they've done a great job putting a team together.
It seemed like all the pieces were put there, or most of the pieces were put there, right?
I mean,
I can't believe that they don't have at least a winning record, like, you know.
That they're not competitive.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the part that's just shocking, that they're not, like the Jets. The Jets are not competitive. I mean, against the Giants.
I didn't expect them to be 7-2, but, you know, 5-4, even.
Cleveland?
You know?
Yeah. I expected them to be 7-2.
Yeah.
No, come on. I mean, that team.
It's really hard to make a flip at that
team,
level. But
come on. They have an alpha receiver, alpha running backs. I mean,
quarterback.
They got two running backs better than any running back we have.
Yeah. No argument.
They have two receivers better than any receivers we have.
Probably, yes.
Their offensive line's better. Their defensive line's better. Their defensive ends are better. Their cornerbacks. I mean, all the way across, that's a better team than Miami, and I think we could play toe-to-toe with them now, especially today.
Yeah.
I really think we could actually even beat them. I mean, that's amazing. I look at Miami today.
Well, we're going to see.
Well, we're going to see pretty soon. It's the only problem is it is in Cleveland. It's going to be cold.
Yeah.
But I believe we're going to give them a hell of a fight.
At this point, I'm not even going to put up an argument.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't stop.
You know? Think about the teams we have left. We have the Bengals on the schedule. Mm-hmm. We have the Jets again. We have the Giants. We have the Browns. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of teams with losing records.
We could end up with 4 or 5 victories.
Which is funny because before the whole ejection thing started, that's what I was looking at for possible wins. I don't mean the end of the season ejection. I mean at the beginning.
Yes, exactly. You know? Yes. Yeah, that was
I thought we were a 4 or 5 win team.
Yeah, we just got...
And we might get back there after getting rid of all of those players.
But, you know, where I think you and I, this whole subject started was, you know, coaching.
Yes.
And now we know that if once we get better players, I can't wait to see what this team's, what our coaching staff's going to put together, the game planning, once we have a defensive end.
That thought is, like, daily on my mind.
It's crazy.
If they can do this with these kids.
Even off, yeah.
What are they going to do with a bunch of first and second round picks over the next 2 years?
It's.
Yeah.
That offensive line, you know, if that guy, if he doesn't win the coach of the year for position coach, I mean, how did you take an offensive line with that one guy that was a legitimate starter almost, you know? And that line is holding its own.
It is.
It's amazing. I mean, Fitzpatrick is getting time to throw.
Yeah. I mean, they're not blasting holes for the
running backs. No, they're not. No.
You know.
But tremendous growth in our offensive line, our defensive schemes, and our now that we're talking about coaching, our cornerbacks. I mean, we lose Howard.
Mm-hmm. The one legitimate stud. On our team.
What's going on?
That we already knew was a legitimate stud. I mean, other ones are coming up.
It's amazing what I'm watching this defense, the way we're covering guys, the way we're playing. I mean, there was a couple of bad runs that we gave up, but most of the time we held our own.
Yep.
It really is impressive to see what Miami is putting together.
Well, since you mentioned corners, mm-hmm. you know, I remember in preseason watching this kid, number 40, yeah. out there just getting
You and
smoked.
I were laughing at him, actually. You called me and go, this yeah. guy sucks.
Yep. I was shocked that he made the team, and I was like, there's a guy that's not going to make the team. There's a guy we're going to cut. And not only was I wrong, based on the statistic I saw from Pro Football Focus this week, mm-hmm. Nick Needham had an elite 90.3 overall grade this week at Indy. Targeted eight times, uh-huh. allowed just three receptions for 34 yards, intercepted a pass, and broke up another one.
No, I mean, his numbers are incredible.
That's the kid that was just didn't even look like he belonged this summer.
Baker played his, yeah. He played unreal. I mean,
That's huge growth mm-hmm. in half a season. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So exciting times.
Well, even Harris showed up strong. I mean,
I saw him make one big tackle for a loss, and I took a note on it.
He was playing well. I mean, the whole team, when you look at Baker himself, seven solo tackles. Wow.
Yeah.
And he got hurt, and he, you know, came right back.
So I picked up Gesicki in my fantasy league for because Ertz was on a bye. I needed somebody. And it was kind of cool to be able to pick up a Dolphin. And then, of course, he catches that ball and fumbles it.
It was a good play. I'm not going to go hard on Gesicki at that. I've turned the corner on him. I think we have a legitimate tight end that is being used correctly, again, yep. by a smart coaching staff.
Yep. Putting players in position to succeed.
Yeah, not that idiot in New York who still cannot put, you know.
We can't just let go of the gaze.
I can't.
Eventually, we need to, don't we?
No, because as long as
he'll be out of football next year.
As long as he's around, and I the guy just infuriates me.
Yeah.
I mean, all over the NFL, we have signs of people that Gaze destroyed, including Parker every day shining more and more. But look, overall, we played a hell of a game. To go into Indianapolis and play as strong as we did and take it to the Colts the way we did, again, great coaching. We never quit. The fire that Flores was showing, unbelievable. And Fitzpatrick with that crazy
run,
concussion thing on the run for the touchdown. Wow.
Yeah, I couldn't help it. I tweeted right after that.
Second time he's done that this year.
I said,
right?
I yes.
What the hell's going on?
And I said something like, for the first time in my career, I'm laughing when our running back runs for a touchdown. I'm like, I can remember making a lot of noises in the past when we scored a touchdown, but it was never laughter.
No.
It's just, you see big old Fitz with the gut and the beard and everything just take off running.
You gotta love that guy. Yes. In the fire when they didn't call the penalty.
But it sounds like I'm picking on him. I'm not.
No, he's not. We love Fritz. Come on. Yeah. When he went into that concussion protocol, and they didn't even call the penalty, which is kind of humorous. And he goes ballistic. He was like, he went into the tent like 1 second, came back out. I'm done. And they're like, get back in. It was crazy. But listen, we were talking about Parker, but how about not the other Parker, Stephen Parker?
Yeah, he had a pick in the end zone.
What do you mean? That wasn't a pick. He stole the ball from the guy.
That's right.
It was unbelievable.
on his way down, falling, entangled with the guy.
I mean, when you saw it, didn't
you say...
That's
concentration, that's focus, that's intent.
He did it with one arm. It's coaching again.
Yep.
I mean, they're coaching him. They're coaching these kids up. When that play happened, I was like, oh, touchdown. Then I see interception. And then the announcer said, oh, no, that's a touchdown.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, let me see it. Then they put the replay, and you
right,
clearly see
there's all
see
the rules around a reception and what it takes to call something a reception, and he never met it. He didn't
never
have control of the ball with, you know, and make a
you
football
know,
move or try to make a football move or whatever it was. He
but
didn't.
Scott, that's
the ball was out before that.
Scott, that's one of those plays that you can define that it's a game changer that won the game for us.
Yes. Yeah.
Because that was a swing of what? 7 points?
Yeah.
Easily. Because, I mean, it's an end zone.
Yeah.
What a play. I mean, it really, it just Miami.
Well, we scored off of both turnovers early in the game. One was a touchdown and one was a field goal. I don't remember which is which at this time.
Doesn't really matter.
It was more than a 7-point swing.
At the end of the day, Miami showed the tenacity, the heart, the good coaching that we want to see. And that is why that takes me to the subject that we should talk about.
Okay.
About, you know, we're winning, and is that really good or bad?
Some girls like the boys who are bad. Some girls just don't know what they have. Who are you?
Yeah, so the battle that seems to be raging, especially amongst Dolphin fans and social media, are the tankers versus the win-at-all-costers.
Yes. Okay, to me it's very simple. If we have a good coaching staff, I'm confident that we will do well regardless. And case in point, look at Cleveland, look at the Jets, look at the losers that have more talent than us and can't and barely have more victories than us.
Yep.
Or some have the same as us.
Yep.
So my opinion is let's keep this coaching staff going, motivated the way they are. They're not going to tank. They want us to win. Every victory shows how great this coaching staff can be.
Yep.
And we know we have high picks, either whether we get the third pick or the fifth pick or the sixth pick, identify the best player at that pick. And I got to say, we have the picks to move up.
We do, but I've been preparing my argument against you on this one all week because you took such a strong stance. Let me
identify that position.
Okay.
To me is we get the best player available that we want. And if somebody we really love them.
Yes.
I want us to take whatever it takes to move up and get those guys.
Well, the only thing I agreed with when you expressed your opinion last week is if you're willing to bet your job or your family or your fortune or something on
your life
moving up to get that guy. I don't want to be that dramatic.
Well, you know.
But, then, okay, that under those circumstances only, and you have to ask yourself the question 10 times over, and you have to ask all the people around you and give them all a voice before you make a move like that, because we can still get value out of all these players. The argument that you made was, you know, do you want Dan Marino and Jason Taylor? Well, where was Jason Taylor picked in the draft, and where was Dan Marino picked in the draft?
First round, third round.
Yeah. So...
But if you know
those
guys...
There's no way to know that you're picking a guy, no matter where you pick him in the draft, that they're going to turn out to be something.
Let's say you have a guy and you identify him as the next
Andrew Luck. And so, again, I would rather rule of thumb, stay where we're at and not go up and not go down. Just as a rule of thumb. Because that's where you end up getting the most players and the most value.
Okay, we've done that in the last... several
dudes.
Okay.
I'm going to challenge you.
Okay, no.
Every time that we've traded up.
No.
Have we done well?
Because we didn't pick the right guy.
That's right.
Okay.
We have failed traded up.
Look, we don't move up to get guys like, you know, Mahorn or any of these great athletes that are out there that we have passed on, that we haven't moved up and said, hey, let's get these guys.
So who do we have that can pick the right guy? Is Greer able to pick the right guy?
I think Greer with Flores and these guys together looking at it, they got to come to a consensus that that's who they think.
Another reason I brought up the book Team of Teams is I hope they're operating like Team of Teams.
I'm sure they are.
Like every single person around the table has a voice, and they're going to reach consensus.
Greer has that mentality. He's not an I am.
I didn't think so. He didn't seem like the Jeff Fireland type that was, you know, my way or the highway.
My way or the highway. No, I think Greer's giving the coaches, and I think that and case in point is Minka.
Well, clearly.
No, but wait. But my case in point is Minka because.
He's on our list to talk about.
Yeah, but if Greer would have said my way or the highway, he would not have allowed this trade. And he did it because our coaching staff said, we can't work with this guy.
Right.
And we know how strong he felt about Minka. And you know what? He was damn right.
He was damn right.
This guy has four interceptions, two touchdowns, two fumbles. He was right. But yet, what did he do? He traded him away.
My Steelers fan buddy sent me this.
Oh, God.
yesterday.
I know the comparison.
Yeah, I sent it to you guys. Dolphins defense versus Minkah Fitzpatrick since the trade to the Steelers. Dolphins defense 6 interception, Minkah Fitzpatrick 5.
Okay.
Dolphins defensive touchdowns 0, Minkah Fitzpatrick 2. Dolphins force fumble or fumble recoveries, Minkah Fitzpatrick 1.
And the Dolphins, how many?
Yeah, so that's a total of 8-7. Minkah is winning over the entire Dolphins defense.
Okay. We know, and I have gone
and
on record.
We never locked him in at a single position.
But
right?
I've gone on record that I thought it was stupid to trade him.
Yeah.
You can't get talent that good. And and our GM was in love with this kid.
Was it him or was it Gase?
No, it was him. He's gone on record.
Influenced him at times.
He went on record that he was not moving because apparently you read the article by Armando.
Yeah.
And you know, basically our owner wanted to draft a little quarterback that's now playing in Baltimore. That's pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
It has shocked me how great he's playing Jackson.
How different would things be right now if
Lamar
that was
Jackson
the case?
On our team would be unbelievable because this coaching
staff. Well, we would have had Gase, and Gase would have destroyed him mentally and everything else.
Yeah. It would have had him throwing bubble screens left and right, and it would have been the end of him. No, but if you look at really our coaching staff and our general manager working together, and then identifying that gem. And then putting the chips down. And I have no problem. I think it's stupid. We have 5 picks and that's an asset.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with assets? You use them.
Sure.
And if you want somebody, you move up and you grab that person.
Okay, but, you know, there's a difference between want and falling in love with a guy and actually willing to risk everything on a guy. And I just look at our track record, and every single time we've traded up, it's fail.
This draft looks like there are 3 quarterbacks or 4 mm-hmm. that seem like could be franchise quarterbacks.
Well, I'm not against the concept of trading up. I mean, I've seen other teams do it in the past when they needed a quarterback. Philadelphia traded up to get Wentz. The Rams traded up to get Goff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they said, we need a quarterback for the future. We're going to spend, you know, what it takes to go get this guy.
But what's the other side of the coin?
So you better know that it's that guy.
Yeah, but what's the other side of the coin? If you don't fall in love with that person,
you do not spend extra money on him.
You stay put and you get the best available.
Right.
That's what the Dolphins need to do.
Yes.
And it's that simple. I'm not against staying put, but I'm saying if you really fall in love with that guy, to give away next year's number one, this year's number one. You have 2 number ones next year.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about next year, 2021.
I understand.
And we have 2 20. We have 2 second rounds.
We have ours and Houston's next year.
We have a great assets.
Yeah.
Let's use them. So, again,
Pittsburgh needs to stop winning.
We started with the conversation of I know. They suck.
They keep ruining our draft pick.
And they have a terrible quarterback. Oh, my God. But Minkah.
But they keep winning.
Because
Minkah keeps scoring.
Minkah keeps scoring more than us. Anyway, we started with the conversation about winning and losing.
Uh-huh.
I am going to be cheering like I have been for us to keep winning, keep playing strong, keep coaching, keep getting better. And we asked that early in the season.
Yeah.
Let us get better. We look pathetic.
Yeah.
We've done it.
Our
coaching staff has given us hope. He's given me hope.
It's been there statistically. It's mm-hmm. been there with the eyeball test, and now it's there with W's.
If I'm in Miami, I'm buying season tickets
for
next year.
Yeah.
That's how excited I am. Yeah. I love what I'm seeing in this team. I love the future. I love the hope. And that hope to me doesn't come with a Tua or this. It comes with the coaching staff.
Yeah.
You know? And we're going to get those players.
I'd say
keep winning.
I'd say, God,
keep
I hope
winning.
The Dolphins come to San Diego next year. And then, we don't have the Chargers anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe if they go to LA, we can watch them. And like, I love the rumor that the Chargers are going to London.
To London? Yeah, that's not going to happen. No, let me tell you.
That was probably
the
a
London
dumb
story,
rumor,
which was it's kind of ridiculous. There's no NFL player that's going to want to play in London with their freaking high taxes, with the traveling that's going to be hideous.
Insane, yeah.
Hideous.
Yeah.
There's no NFL player that's going
to... That whole article rumor was like there'll be realignment associated with that, where the Chargers join the AFC East and Miami goes to the South and blah, blah,
no,
blah.
No, it's not going to happen. I can't the see Chargers are not going to... No one's going to want to play there. There's no team that's going to want to go to London.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll see a team in Mexico before we see one in London. It's not going to happen. Okay.
One more player I want to mention, and then while we're still on the Colts game, I have a couple more notes, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So the Dolphins tweeted this stat, right? Christian Wilkins now has 32 tackles this season.
Wow.
Which leads all defensive linemen rookies in the NFL.
Great pick.
So the first time I read it, I was thinking led all defensive linemen, and I got really excited. And then the caveat is rookies. So, but still, great pick.
Rookie defensive linemen, unless they're defensive ends, even then, I mean, that's the only one.
Yeah,
I've
that
seen.
Takes all defensive linemen into account.
Yeah.
So
I mean, he's playing very well, very well.
Yeah, and he keeps getting better. As long as he doesn't throw punches on the first play of the game, we're going to be okay.
And I like the spirit. He's got to, you know. But look, again, another kid that's been coached up. When the season started, they were saying he wasn't strong enough.
Yep.
That this and that. And look, every game he's gotten better and better and better.
Yep.
Great. This is another victory for our coaching staff.
Okay, I got one more thing from the Colts game.
Yes.
And it's not a positive thing.
Oh, no.
Is it time to move on from Ballage and really give the other running back some time? Because honestly...
He's terrible.
Yeah.
That's why Walton beat him.
Yeah.
I mean, what did he average? 2 yards a carry?
It was...
He was first contact down.
He just can't get to the... He can't get back to the line of scrimmage when we need him to.
Now, not that we have much of a line there blocking for run blocking.
Everything, yeah.
Really, he looks terrible.
But Walton got out of the way. Of that
first Walton
hit.
Just seemed to
and
make
Drake,
one guy miss.
Drake got out of the way of the first guy, and Ballage isn't getting out of the way. He's going down every time. Seems.
Yeah, my question is, how the hell did Ballage beat Drake earlier in the season?
Yeah, and I heard other people ask the same question. I don't get it.
We've talked about that. It just doesn't make any sense. But no, Ballage is it's terrible, and
I hesitate to to say, okay, we're done with a guy, because every time we say we're done with a guy, all of a sudden, a.k.a. Gesicki, here they come.
I don't think I've ever seen a guy 20 carries for 43 yards. I mean, again, this is not exactly the Chicago Bears 1985, okay?
Right. And so we were saying that we, in preseason or early in the season said, well, we got one guy that's solid, and then that guy tanked. But at least in this game, he was perfect. So shout out to
Mr. Sanders.
That's right.
And the thing was, he didn't even get as nervous doing those kicks. I mean, normally
I was nervous during the first one.
Well, not the minute he kicked it. I'm trying to say the minute he kicked it, they were splitting the uprights.
Yep.
There was no doubt.
Which is what we saw in the past.
Yes, he looked great.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy because. We were a little down on him. He had, it cost us a game.
Yes.
Maybe a couple of games. Now he really looked great, and it's nice to have him back because, I mean, he really kicked the ball well. And I think overall, we control the line of scrimmage, I mean, the clock at least. We got 31 minutes to, 28. I mean, it wasn't massive, but... Miami did control it, and we did more plays than they did. I mean, they actually got us 69-62. Even game, Miami's not going to walk away from anybody.
Right.
We're not going to run away from anybody.
Of course not.
No, I mean, but it just really showed, this game showed one more time that we could play anybody just about, play most teams. I mean, we could be competitive.
Yeah, we're not going to hang with an elite team.
No, we're not going to hang out with it. No.
But
we can maybe for a few
quarters. Average and less.
For a few quarters, we can. Yeah. At least for the first half.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm proud. I'm really proud. I think that this whole game was very well played.
To have to go through a difficult season like this and see the things, knowing that it was going to be a difficult season, and see the things that we hoped we would see,
is
great. It's redeeming.
It gives us hope.
It makes us feel better.
This is all about
hope. And you should, too. You should feel better, too.
Everybody should.
Okay, as a follow-on to the tanking versus not tanking conversation, opinions, whatever.
Yes.
I would say really quickly that I've always been Switzerland on the subject. I have a lot of GM in me, mm-hmm. and I like strategic planning. It's just me, and so I understood where the front office was going. But when I sit down to watch a Dolphins game, without exception, I want us to win. So
of course,
strategic. I don't know, split, whatever. I'm mm-hmm. on both sides of this fence. I understand one side. I know I want the quarterback of the future, and we haven't had one in a long time. But
on
the other side,
this year we're gonna get one.
I'm a fan. I love seeing us win when we do.
And we're gonna get that quarterback, and it may not be exactly the guy we pick number one. But I'll remind everybody, when we had the greatest quarterback draft that's come out, or people say that 1983 class, mm-hmm. Shula did not want Marino as his number one pick.
Right.
Did not even have him as even close.
Right.
Okay. He settled for Marino. I'm telling you, that might be the Dolphin case. We might have to settle for someone. And if the football gods have it in our chips to get another Dan Marino type guy, we will get him. And I thought we saw this weekend.
Couple of weeks ago, I knew this. I saw this game on the schedule.
Great.
And I said, you know, if Dolphins want to watch a quarterback matchup of two guys that
we
are going to be
it.
In the draft,
mm-hmm.
yep.
There they are.
Here it is.
And it lived up to it. I mean,
I didn't get to see it. I had something else I had
to do.
Well,
the first half, LSU had 33 points, Alabama 13. It was a blowout.
Yeah.
Tua looked human. And Joe Burrow looked superhuman. Second half, Tua turns it on and throws like four touchdown passes, brings them back, and it's a battle at the end. And the difference between the two quarterbacks that I saw,
mm-hmm.
and I was going back and forth from the Miami Hurricanes, talk about a kid for the future. Williams looks like a kid that might even be one of those guys that we're going to be talking about, the Jalen Williams, the quarterback of the Hurricanes. This kid had six touchdowns, the most ever in the history of the Miami Hurricanes.
You almost lost me there. I didn't know what the hell you were talking about.
No, because I was going back.
You just went from
Joe
Burrow.
Because I was going back and forth between those two games, and I saw Williams throw six. So it's funny because I was looking at those other two quarterbacks, and there's this freshman kid throw six touchdown passes in a quarterback with so many great quarterbacks, and this kid shined like crazy, but
yeah.
He's not in our radar right now. But the two guys that are, Joe Burrow and Tua, this is the numbers. Burrow had 39 passes, 31 completed for 393 yards, 10 yards, over 10 yards average, three touchdowns, no interceptions. Tua had 40 passes, 21 completions.
Hmm. One tick over 50%.
Not that good. 418 yards.
Well, that's good.
Four touchdowns, one interception.
That's good. Yeah, that's still a good ratio.
Okay.
Yeah.
But now let's look at the rushing. Joe Burrow had 14 attempts for 64 yards.
14 attempts.
He was running when he had to.
Yeah.
Alabama
is a lot.
Has one hell of a defense.
14 is a lot.
Alabama has one hell of a defense.
Yes.
When they were chasing him, he was running. Now, he wasn't protecting himself very well. I saw a couple of times he was going after the Alabama guys. He'll have to get coached up because they'll kill him in the NFL.
Does he have a gut and a beard?
No, but my God, he was gonna walk. I was scared for the kid because
yeah.
he was one of those guys that, you know, stands up and gives he has a little bit of Marino in him. Matter of fact, Marino's is our gold standard, right?
Sure. Yes.
Joe Burrow looks
absolutely,
more.
Absolutely.
To me, Joe Burrow is more Marino than anyone that I've seen in college right now. He just has that, I want to fight.
More than neighbor?
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, that guy is physically.
No, but I'm not talking physically. It's just that attitude. He has this chip
Burrow's
on his shoulder.
Not physical like Abear is.
But Burrow has this, like, I want to win. I'm just going to will my team to victory.
Okay.
This is really fantastic. Tua had rushed, three times negative 5 yards. Whatever. I mean, now Tua was playing, now full disclosure, Tua was playing on a really damaged ankle, barely on one leg. He really showed a lot of guts and a lot of grit. So it's hard to judge that. It's unfair. You know, he couldn't really run the way he normally does. And in my opinion, the long ball, Tua throws a better long ball than anybody in college. He threw some beauty. So it's
been so long.
So it doesn't matter.
To me, get
either one of these guys, we're going to be great.
Yeah.
And
well, Burrow is not currently highly ranked in terms of the quarterbacks that are available.
Boy, let me tell you, if we stay put and we get a great defensive player and we get him later on in the first round, wow, we out of the ballpark.
Cool.
It's still early and there's still so much to go. And, you know, who knows how this thing is going to play out. But it was great watching these two quarterbacks.
Yeah, this winter I'll definitely be watching as much stuff as I can watch.
And whatever.
Yeah, yep.
It's going to be interesting, the championship, to see how Tua, if he gets there again, which sounds like he will, you know, with Alabama. But LSU is looking great, and, you know, Trevor's looking good.
And then I won't be able to help myself watching the Clemson kid.
He's phenomenal.
Thinking about next year.
Well, right now he's ranked 7th in the nation.
Which surprised me. Well, no, that's statistically, right? Yeah. Or for quarterback rating or something.
I mean, the Navy kid's ranked ahead of him.
But if he was in this year's draft...
Number one.
Okay. There we are.
Yeah. I mean,
without
a doubt. It's going to be great. But what I'm trying to say is that I think Miami's going to have enough pickings, you know, great guys to pick from, that we're going to do well. That's the aspiration. And if we're going to tank in a draft, not that we're tanking, but this is a draft that we want to.
Let's just hope Greer goes 5 for 5 in this draft. And I mean of the first 5 picks.
I'll take 2 for 2. Give me 2 great guys and trade up. You and I differ on that.
We do.
Give me the 2 gems.
I just don't have the confidence that any one person is the gem that you spend those extra first round picks on.
You know what?
But I'm not a scout. I'm not out there, you know, spending. That's not my profession. It could be my profession if anyone's listening, you know. Call me up, pay me. I will go out on the road and watch every college game and evaluate players and give you all kinds of lists. And you know,
okay, if I told you that you could pick, you know, any of these guys that are game changers, or Ray Lewis, a Dan Marino, if we think,
yeah,
that
but
we have,
how do you know that guy is that guy?
Well, you and I have had a lot of discussion on that, and we've had a couple of people that we've identified that I've been sold on.
Yep.
I want to watch more of these quarterbacks. I guarantee you this one of those guys is the guys that we feel is that kind of guy, and we within our reach, we go for it. And if we made a mistake, okay, but it's better than making that mistake than picking 5 guys who are not going to do anything.
Yes.
Get that game changer.
We've said it over and over, keep picking quarterbacks. Keep doing it.
Yeah, and in this draft, we might be able to take 2.
Well, you never know.
You know? I mean, it's gonna be fun. But now I think we're going to lose, not badly, but we're going to lose, I think, probably close to double digits, somewhere around 9.
Well, they did end up flipping the game, flipping the script on us when we were up there, because we fought them the whole first half, right?
I think we shocked them.
Yeah.
They didn't expect it. I think they're going to come better prepared. They're a well-coached team like us, and they have more talent.
That's a fact.
And so they're going to shut us down offensively. And defensively, and their offense is going to score on us. I mean, not crazy, but they're going to get us. They're going to get us for 20-some points. I don't think we're going to score more than 10, 13 points.
Well, they do have a good defense, but they've fallen off quite a bit over the last few weeks. I mean, they came back to earth.
They seem to give up a lot of rushing. Something strange in Miami, I mean, in Buffalo, that they haven't, they seem to have slacked off on, they were a shutdown defense. Overall, you know, I mean, last game, we showed again that, you know, we barely passed for over 150 yards. We rushed barely. I mean, we're not putting up numbers offensively. And against a good defense, they're going to have a banquet on us.
Yeah.
I mean, I think We're going to have some regression with our sacks. Give up a few.
I was so certain that the loss of Walton and Preston for last week's game mm-hmm. was going to ensure a loss by going to Indy because they were enough of the tilt, the difference maker.
Two guys that were starters on our offense.
Yeah.
And it probably did affect us, obviously. You know, I mean, the offense was not great.
No.
That won that game was our defense.
Yes.
Our defense is playing stellar, but our defense is going to. I think it's going to be tested and probably, you know, it's going
to
be hard.
It to my eyes, we're game planning. I mean, of course, everyone game plans and has a scheme. Although last year I was questioning whether Gase ever had a scheme. He just went and played whatever game he felt like playing rather than scheming. But
whatever.
Yeah. Every opportunity. We have to get over the bash Gase thing at some point, but we're just not there yet.
No, but I mean, it was 4 years of getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, we haven't even talked about... we did in one of our podcasts how our offense kept getting rated worse and worse every year, just like our.
Yep.
I mean, it was terrible.
Yeah, I think we've repeated it several times.
How the hell can a guy be an offensive genius and do that?
The point I was trying to make is we came out with a specific game plan that was, you could see it against the Jets, you know?
Yeah.
You could see how we practiced against
the Bills.
Them. And then, and then it was so clear during this game. That they met and they talked about it and they said, okay, we're going to make Hoyer beat us. We're going to put eight guys in the box. Even what we talked about in the last podcast, right? And say, we're going to stop Mac. We're going to stop the run. You know, we're going to stop the short passes as much as we can.
Boy, Belichick,
and we're going to make Hoyer
beat us. We took away the one guy that we both thought, we talked about it because fantasy, you know, sometimes – does look like reality. Sometimes it doesn't. But there was one guy there was one guy we thought was going to get off on us.
Mac.
A kid that comes from Florida. A kid that, you know, is a hard runner. And boy, we were just, I mean, he had a couple of times he slipped away from us. But overall, we held him in check. And I was, every time I was watching, I was going, boy, the Dolphins are just selling out. They're not letting this guy beat them. Amazing. It really is nice to see coaching. And that's what that is.
Yep.
Now, again, don't expect miracles. We're not going to be able to beat a talented team.
Yeah, so it's one thing to get a team motivated to play together. Mm-hmm. It's another thing to mentor kids and get them to improve themselves. And it's a third thing to scheme well against teams. We've got all three.
And this weekend, what I predict is going to happen is we're gonna come out, we're going to play them tough, but at the end of the day, talent – is going to overcome, and they're going to win. And they're going to probably beat us by, like I said, close to double digits, anywhere around 9 points or so, 10. That's going to be a big victory. But they're going to beat us, you know, soundly. It's going to not be in question. That's my opinion.
Okay. Well, I haven't taken to predicting games the way that I have in the past. I've kind of let you make the predictions this year, and I've sort of said, well, we could do this or we could do that. The Bills are coming to Miami, and that's always a war. Are you ready for war? The Two Old Dolphins podcast is proud to be a member of the Dolphins Talk Podcast Network. In addition to our website at twooldolfans.com, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play, we can also be found at dolphinstalk.com. You can reach out to us through our website and email address that's there, or find us on Twitter where we're very active. We have an Instagram account that we post to occasionally and a Facebook page. The Two Old Dolphins would like to thank Rick DeJesus and Adelitas Way for allowing us to use their music throughout our podcast. Absolutely kick-ass rock out of this Las Vegas band. And if you get the chance to see them live, don't miss it. They put on a great show every single time. The Two Old Dolphins would also like to thank the band Tartanic. We love those bagpipes and drums, and we've got them in the podcast too. Guarantee get the chance to see them live at the fair or wherever they may be. They put on an entertaining show. It's a blast. Don't miss them.
Thank you for listening to Two Old Dolphins. Join us next week for more news, analysis, and old guy stories. Good night.
Go Dolphins!